Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Drew Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. We both sound a little rough. We've got some sickness and such going on. So,
boy, I gotta tell you, we've had a rough week. But I'll tell you, it's Sunday. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're here. Do you know how important you people are?
Yeah,
my entire family is out in the other room. There's homemade ice cream being made, and I'm here. So that's how important this show is. 3 weeks in a row. Thank you very much.
I will mention we're a day or two behind. So we're on Sunday. We had been on Friday and Saturday, and so we're kind of drifting a bit on our weekly shows. We're going to drift a little bit more. I'll forewarn you now. So this week we drifted because I was out of town and just got back last night, and then you're going out of town, and so our weekly shows are right now going to be like 8 days apart or 9 days apart. But we're still going to be here. It's going to be consistently slightly over a week.
It's better than, like one show every month. I'll
say, right.
You know, that's a whole lot better. So.
And that's where we have been for quite a while. So I still feel really good, and we'll balance out shortly. But it is the summer, and we do travel and all that kind of stuff.
So what are we talking about this week, sir?
Yeah, we've got a fun story. I don't know. It'll be fun to talk about. Rainbow Six is banning people for being mean, and I kind of like it. So we'll talk about that. We've also got lots of ways to get cheap games. We had the Steam Summer Sale. That already happened, but there's still more ways to get cheap games, which is super cool. And if we have some time for it, some new VR tech from HTC that's cool. I don't know if it's practical, but it's cool. But we'll talk about that as well. But before that, what have you been doing, man?
I tell you what, I have been working my butt off, but I have had just a few hours to play. I actually haven't played Slime Ranchers. My niece Avery has been playing more Slime Ranchers. And I gotta be honest, that game is intense. That there's a lot of crap going on. There's a lot of stuff happening. I don't even know if I completely get it. But we're really enjoying it. And I played a little bit more of Fallout 4.
Very nice.
Which is really cool. And I hate to admit it, but I've now played enough of Fallout 4 that if I sit down for like an hour and a half and allow it to happen, it will own my soul.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah. I have that feeling. It's like, hi, do you remember me? I'm Fallout. I own you. That's what it feels like.
Yes, and that's fair. It should. It's a good game. I've said many times. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy the world. Like Fallout 3, the world didn't capture me as much. It was okay.
See, I love Fallout 3.
I love the game. It was just the actual world. Just I don't know what it was. It never sucked me in the same way. And again, I never played New Vegas. I know New Vegas would have, but Fallout 4, the world got me. Like the gameplay was there. It was Fallout, and I love all that stuff. It's what kept me into Fallout 3. But the exploration part of Fallout 4, I enjoyed quite a bit more.
See, New Vegas would have owned you.
I know.
Because I told you when you were playing it that Fallout 4 reeked of New Vegas, and it does. But what gets me about it is the nooks and the crannies in the world.
Yeah.
Like, there's a cave under the rocket truck station, which apparently has a fusion cell and various other things in it, which I haven't gotten the the power armor yet. But I can tell the fact that I'm gonna have to be collecting fusion cells is really gonna piss me off. That's gonna make me angry.
Yeah, and it is. Because you get power armor. Go ahead.
Well, did that annoy you as much as I feel like it's going to annoy me?
A little bit. It's been a little while since I played it, so I'm trying to remember. Because, like I was saying, you get the power armor really early in the game, and of course you get better power armor as you progress. But your first power armor comes really, really early on. But you have to power it, and so if you want to use it, you've got to have the cells. And I didn't use it much early on. Like, I had it, and it was just sitting in the rack at the base, and then, like, once or twice I was like, oh, man, I better take it to go do this if I died several times or whatever. But it wasn't until I was really getting into really radiated areas that I started taking it out on a regular basis. And then by the end of the game, I'm in it all the time, you know? Like, you have enough built up at that point. And so there was a few times that I'm, like, resource gathering, like, where can I go find some cells to make sure I keep this thing going. But I feel like after a while, it wasn't very bad.
See, for Fallout 3 and for New Vegas, power armor has always just been armor.
Right.
Like, this is a freaking mech suit. And so it's a little different.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about that.
It's fun because, like, it's even, like, souped up from what you had before. But it does now take maintenance. But there's all kinds of upgrades you can do to it as well. The crafting system in Fallout 4 is such a big deal. And so, yeah. I ultimately dug it. I thought it was cool. But it does take a much more resource management kind of perspective than at least Fallout 3 did in my remembrance. Again, I don't know about New Vegas, but yeah.
See, I wore power armor for the better part of both games because I was one of those that's like, yeah, I had to have that like immediately.
Yeah.
I wore power armor for a long time and I'm sure I'll use the crap out of this. But like I talked about earlier, the last time we did a show, Fallout 3 is different than Fallout 4 and even different than New Vegas. Fallout 4 is different than Fallout 3 and different than New Vegas. And I think it's going to be okay. Like, I feel like it's still Fallout, but I'm still in that, like, early stage of I wonder. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting.
It's fair. It is a different game. The power armor works different. The VATS works different. Like, it's familiar, but not the same by any means. And so, yeah.
And it's in a city, which is totally different from the vast desert that we've been used to.
Yes. And the thing that works really well with Fallout 4, I think, to me at least, one of the reasons I like the world better is because it does have some density to it. There's plenty of areas that are pretty wide open that aren't, you know, city. But there's also a lot of city stuff. And what happens when you get into kind of the actual, like, downtown Boston area where you'll eventually run into Diamond City. And that's a cool place. I love Diamond City. But it's hard to get around because, like, there's, like, super mutants in like buildings and shooting out windows at you and that kind of stuff. You have to be very, very cautious going through there. And so that level of density, I think, added a different dimension on the world than what Fallout 3 had.
Well, all I have to say is at some point when I sat down and had time and really let it take me, y'all better watch out because I don't know that I'm going to get anything else done for like that. Like, I had that feeling. Like, it must be what it's like for a drug addict that's trying to stay clean. You know, it's always that voice in the back of your head that's like, just come take a hit. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take over your world. It'll be totally okay. Just come take a hit. I promise. That's how I feel about Fallout 4.
Yes. And you should. Because it's a game that owned me. And I'm a busy dude that doesn't get owned by games terribly. Like, I'm desperately trying to be owned by God of War. I'm playing it every chance I get. I just don't have a ton of time. But Fallout 4 is a game that owned me. Like, it pretty much took over my free time for quite a while.
Yeah,
granted, that was pre-kid.
I was going to say that was BTC. We're going to have to start calling
yes.
it that. But actually, BTK.
Yeah.
Before the kid.
Yes. Yeah. That's 100% fair. That definitely changes the gaming time at this point. And so.
Which, can I mention something while we're talking about her?
Yep.
I miss her desperately. Like, I have my own kids over here. They're fantastic, but
yep.
I miss her desperately.
I do, too, and she's in the other room from me right now, so I hear you. she's pretty great. I was telling you before we fired up the mics, I'll share this really quick because it's somewhat entertaining. She has a cold, and that's not the entertaining part. It kind of sucks, and so it's the first, like, real cold she's gotten. She's had a few, like, little sniffles here and there, but this one's, like, full out, like, snot all over the place cold, and so we're dealing with that. She's still happy. It's barely slowed her down. She just sounds like Darth Vader constantly because she's so congested. But they have this fun little device. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called the Nose Frida. And I don't remember if we used it while you were here or not. The Nose Frida. And so I would encourage you to Google this if you've never heard of the Nose Frida before. It's what's called a nasal aspirator. It's a way to get snot out of your kid's nose. And so, like, I have younger brothers, and I help take care of them. They're quite a bit younger than me, and so I have a little bit of, like, child care experience in my background. When they were little, they had these little bulb things, which they still do because we had one.
Yeah, that's what we had in my house was the snot-sucking bulb.
Yep. And so we had one of those for the little girl, and it's not great. It doesn't work very well. It's a pain. It's hard to clean everything else. And so the sexy sidekick, somebody told her, you have to have one of these things. It's Nose Frida. And what it is essentially a big straw that you stick one end to their nose and you suck on the other end to suck the snot out of their face. And it has like a little container that captures the snot. And at the end of that, there's a little filter so you don't like suck up the snot into your mouth. It's still really, really bizarre. And so, like, the sexy sidekick was like, we got to get one of these things. I'm like, okay, like, you have fun with that, you know? Like, whatever. Knock yourself out. Turns out, like, I'm actually pretty good at using this little thing. And so I have spent a good chunk of the past week or so sucking snot out of my daughter's nose with this little straw thing. And it's incredibly weird, and it's incredibly gross, and it makes the worst horrifying noise you've ever heard in your life. But it's amazingly effective, and when you have kids and they have a stuffy nose, like, you're gonna do what you gotta do to get that stuff out.
I feel like we need to consider maybe possibly doing a child rearing podcast. Like, because seriously, I've had nieces in my house. You have a kid in your house. I know about the snot-sucking bulb. Now I want to know about the Nose Frida. Like, there's just all kinds of stuff.
There's all kinds
and
of
I
stuff.
And I feel like we really could, the world could benefit from Jamie and Tommy Childrery. I really think that could be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all the gross things that you expect with child rearing. They're all true. If you don't have kids yet, you're going to have kids. Kids are gross. Get over it quickly. Like, that's my best advice. Like, you just deal with it. Like, if you're like, think about having kids and you're worried about like changing diapers, cool. Like, you'll get over it in like 2 days. Like, you just have to. You just got to deal with stuff. And so you figure it out. And then it's really fun because, like, everybody that we're around is like super grossed out by this nose thing, and so every time I'd pull it out, like, the room would exit, you know, like everybody that's in the room is like, oh, he's doing that gross nose sucking thing, see you later, you know. So
it's pretty fun, it's like a superpower. That's where I feel good about myself, because I know enough to know that I've been around enough of this stuff that can happen, and I'm not going to exit.
Yeah.
like I'm not really afraid of the dirty diaper. I'm not really afraid of snot. Because let's face it, we've talked about this before. I am a 30-plus-something-year-old version of her.
Yes.
Like, you have a leg up on everybody else because you ran around with me for like 5 years.
That's fair.
Okay, like, I hate to admit it, but I prepped you for this.
that's not completely unfair. No, there's definitely, like, truth there.
Like, I did that, so
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely helped.
So that's the thing. I think I'm different than everybody else, because you can pull out whatever device that you want to pull out, and I'm going to be like, hey, can I borrow that?
Right. That looks really handy. Yep. I hear you. So anyway, that's the joys of child rearing for this week's Gaming Uncensored. Before we get into the news, we have a segment, which we're excited about because we love segments. This one from our boy Zeke, who asked us for some suggestions on the Steam Summer Sale and then went out and picked up something that we didn't suggest but was awesome. So he's going to talk to us about a game that he picked up at the Steam Summer Sale, and then we'll come back and talk some news. So here is Zeke.
Hey, Jamie. Hey, Tommy. This is Zeke again. Thanks for the suggestions for the Steam sale. It was really helpful. It gave me a place to start and not be so intimidated by all the stuff that's on sale. It's crazy. So the game I've been playing, one of the games that I picked up, is Quantum Break, which is a really interesting game. It's a few acts of basically first-person shooter combat interspersed with live-action TV show segments, and at first it came off as really super, super cheesy, but as the story continued and I got more invested, I really felt like they were good at setting a tone and really effective at telling this story, even though it's basically a B or C level science fiction thing going on. But I love time travel, and I think that they approach the topic of time travel in a really compelling way and real consistently, which was great. Overall, I recommend it. Gameplay wise, it's really basic. You have some cool time related powers that are really pretty much essential for getting you through combat, and there are a few different gun types, a few different enemy types. A lot of the enemies have this like a weak point where you can defeat them easier if you shoot them in their weak point, and it's not too challenging. I played it on normal mode and I felt like I didn't have to try too many things over and over again. Really, the only thing I had to do a few times was the boss fight. And so I felt like this is a game that's going to be accessible for a variety of people, not just people who are into first-person shooters, but also people who are just interested in like science fiction stories and want a little bit of interactivity It's hard to say if this is a TV show with interludes of computer generated and video gaming, or if it's a video game with interludes of a TV show. I thought they blended it well. Well, that's all I'm talking about at the moment. Thanks for doing all this extra content. It's been really awesome hearing you guys for the second week in a row. Keep it rolling.
So, Quantum Break, apparently cool. It's a game that I've always been interested in seeing and never have played. So, it's nice hearing some feedback about it.
When it goes to $2, I'm totally picking that up.
Yeah, it's such a weird concept, and like, in general, like, that's the sentiment that I've heard, is people are kind of like, it's kind of cool. Like, I think the game has lots of problems, and those have been hashed out. But, like, overall, it seems like an experience that's worth playing, and so I think I'm with you. I don't know how much it was on this summer sale. I think it was fairly cheap, not $2 yet, but, yeah, it's one of those that's going to end up in the library, and I'm going to be like, I need to play that someday.
Yeah, one of the 8 zillion that are in the library that we need to play someday. And we have more coming to ya.
I know. But one of the great things about doing this show is we can live vicariously through listeners who get to play games that we don't get to play, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, it's a good thing, because I may be 85 before I get to Quantum Break.
No, isn't that the truth? All that being said, should we get to some news?
Yes.
So we're going to start with Rainbow Six. I mentioned this interesting topic that's come up. And so this is specifically towards Rainbow Six right now, but more broadly gaming in general, and the ways that publishers are trying to control their online communities. And so Rainbow Six Siege has been doing kind of a purge with what they're calling, I think, toxic players or something like that, of how people talk to each other in game, and specifically using slurs, be it racial slurs or homophobic slurs or whatever. And so what they've done is, like, just no warning, just banning people for, like, saying the N-word or other things I'm not going to repeat here because they're not words that I use. People are just straight up getting banned. And so then they come at them on Twitter. And so this one dude says, F you guys, Rainbow Six Games, I just got a ban for saying N-word in chat. Rainbow Six responded, which is great to see the actual official Twitter account respond, and said, good, period. That's it. Another person tweeted at him, banning people for saying the N-word on an M-rated game. Glad to see you're focusing on the real issues. Again, Rainbow Six responded and said, fighting against toxicity and cleaning up the Siege environment is a very real and important issue. It's a tricky thing to me. I don't know where you draw the line, but I'm a big proponent of this as somebody that doesn't play a lot of games online, in part because I very much dislike dealing with people who go around and be trolls or whatever.
You know what? Here's the thing. At the end of the day, you're playing their software. So I don't know that there's a line, because you're playing their software. So if you do something that they deem offensive and they want to ban you, they have the right to do that. I don't think there's anybody anywhere that has a legitimate use for the N-word. Like, that's coming from a straight-up white guy.
Right.
I mean, you can't get any more white than us.
Yes.
But there's no good reason to use that word ever. And so, again, I understand guys being upset, but you have to remember, you are playing their software, and it's their rules, and if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Yes, 100% agree. It it's not a free speech issue. And to be fair, I haven't seen that come up, so I'm appreciative of that because that's one of my soapboxes of using a First Amendment issue when it's not a First Amendment issue. This isn't. This is a you have a privilege. You don't have a right to play a game online. And so it's solely within their power to set what their community standards are. And this is the community standards that I would want to be in place if I'm playing a game online. And to people like me that want to play games in environments that aren't bombarded by the N-word or whatever, or being called an F, or, you know, like, I just, like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to deal with that. This makes me more likely to pick up a UB online game because I have more confidence that that community is going to be well regulated and such. More fun to be a part of, that the people that are there to have a good time and are there in good faith. And it's just a reality of life. And I don't know that it's different than it ever has been in the history of humanity, that just in any community, there's a segment of people that are just terrible, punks that are just trolling, that are, you know, awful. But the internet has very much made those voices louder, has given them a way to be amplified, and the video game community has definitely been a part of that. We've, in the grand scheme of video game community, already dealt with and will continue to deal with a lot of really terrible, nasty stuff, which is disappointing. This is kind of a smaller level of that, but it's still a part of it, and to have a publisher that's out there actively controlling this and trying to create a environment for me, a mid-30s dude that just wants to play a game at night, you know, to wind down or whatever. Like, I love it. It's great. And then also for people, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think, my cousin who is really into Rainbow Six Siege, who is in the military. He's in the Air Force. Like, this is his world, but he grew up, his father's in the military. He grew up playing all the military games. And Rainbow Six Siege is like his thing, man. Like, he's awesome at it, and he's passionate about it. He loves it. He, you know, talks about it all the time, whatever. And this is like, he's not somebody that's going to go in there and start cursing at people. He's somebody in there that's going in there like super tactical. Like, you're not going to understand what he's doing or saying because, like, you don't have the military training he does or whatever. But those people have a place in this too. You know, like, people who want to be really serious about this community or about this game can be in that community and be serious about it without, you know, like, people, again, just saying the N-word or trolling them or whatever. And I think that's great. I think that's how gaming communities would be. I hope to see this kind of stronger hand at controlling speech and how players interact with each other. Because, again, it would make it much more likely that I would play one of these games if I'm not dealing with trolly people.
Well, and the thing is it's going to continue to change as we get older.
Yes.
Because I have cursed a lot. I still curse more than a human should on a daily basis. But ever since you got a daughter, I've been very, very, very conscious about what comes out of my mouth. And I'm not even really in your environment.
Yeah.
But that just... Since she came along, it's like, okay, gotta pay attention, because whether I like it or not, that kid and the two kids that are in my house in the other room are watching what I do.
Yeah.
And it changes a lot of things. It changes everything.
Yeah. And as a point of clarity, just because you brought that up, I want to say, like, I don't mind cursing. Like, I'll play a game that people are cursing or whatever, as long as it's not hateful stuff, as long as it's not slurs and that kind of stuff. And so, like, if I was playing Rainbow Six and I'm playing with a dude and we lose, he's like, F, man, that effing sucks, you know, or whatever. Like, I'm fine with it. Hopefully going to have it on headphones. And again, my daughter's not going to hear it. At this point, she hears cursing all the time, so it doesn't really matter. But you know what I'm saying. Like, cursing is fine. Like, cursing happens all the time. It's whenever it gets to that hateful level of slurs that I think is the line. And I think that's a different place. I don't want them to be banning people who drop an F-bomb. That happens constantly in real life, and so whatever. But it's very much the hateful stuff that crosses the line to me.
Yeah, that is a whole different deal. My point was it's going to continue to change as we get older.
Yeah.
And age has a lot to do with it. I mean, I think those that are really upset about this are people that this is not a thing for them because they're not at that age yet.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, did you know, this isn't gaming related, it is N-word related. Did you see that Papa John's got had to resign because he used the N-word on a conference call?
I did not see that whole cow.
Yeah. So it's a tricky situation, and there's a whole other level of stuff that we could talk about that we're completely unqualified to talk about.
Like, hello, wake up! Who are you? What's your name? You should know not to do that.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm glad there's a little bit of a reckoning happening over it. You know, it's important. And I have a personal stake in this. We mentioned this before. My daughter is black. And so, this is something I care about more. I cared about it before. But definitely, I'm even more sensitive to now. And so, racist language isn't something I've tolerated in the past much, but something I'm going to tolerate less in the future, even because it is personal, is in my house now. And so it's a tricky thing. There's hard answers to figure it out in art and culture and music and lots of things. This one doesn't seem that hard to me. In a video game where people are talking to each other, yeah, keep it civil. Don't be hateful to one another. Outside of that, whatever. But yeah.
I like it. Thank you, UB. Thank you very much.
Way to go. And now the two awkward white guys are going to move on to something else, so we don't have to try to figure out racism on the show today.
It's cool, yo.
Right. We're going to move on to cheap games and talk about some ways you can get some cheap games, which everybody loves, right? Like I said before, the Steam Summer Sale already happened, and you hopefully got some good cheap games there. And then Sony was doing their sale that I don't know if it's still going on, but we talked about in the last show. But tomorrow, and so if you're listening to this before Monday, good job. You're going to have a head start on this. You probably already know this. But tomorrow, Monday, July 16th, starts Amazon Prime Day. If you are subscribed to Amazon Prime, it's their kind of summer deal fest thing. That's not just gaming by any means. It's all kinds of things, everything that's on Amazon, and lots of lightning deals and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy. I don't know how to follow it all, whatever. But always part of that is going to be video games. And so there's going to be a chance to get some good deals on video games. They're actually doing it for 36 hours this year instead of 24. And so that's cool. But you kind of have to follow along. I do believe you can get a free trial to Prime if you don't have Prime. It's only you have to be a Prime member to be eligible to buy stuff from Prime Day get the deals, but I think you can do a free trial if you don't have Amazon Prime already. And so,
who doesn't have Amazon Prime? Isn't that the truth? Holy cow!
It's the most convenient. We got something delivered today. It's Sunday. There was a book sitting on our front porch. Amazon Prime is fantastic. So you should be on it. If you're not on it, get a free trial to get some deals. If you are on Amazon Prime, though, let me mention this really quick. There's already a bunch of deals. There's a bunch of free games that you can get during July for Twitch Prime. But if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime. And some really good games that are part of this. Pillars of Eternity, Brutal Legend with Jack Black, right? Isn't that Brutal Legend?
Yep.
And Tacoma, which is kind of this indie darling game that's supposed to be really good. I haven't played it yet. They're all free. Plus some other stuff. Metal Slug 3 is part of it. Hue is part of it, which looks really cool. Broken Age, which is supposed to be a really cool indie title. And I think there's 21 total games that are free. Just flat out free if you have Amazon Prime. So go check that out. And then one more thing I'll mention on the cheap / free games thing. Humble Bundle, we love. Humble Bundle's great. And I don't know if we've talked about this before. This has been happening for a long time, but they have a monthly subscription service now. which they've, again, had for a while. It's $12 a month, and each month they have several games. They're usually around between 5 or 10 games that you get for free as being part of this. You don't get to choose, like with the Humble Bundle packs, the bundles, you get to choose, you know, whether or not you want to pay for it. This one, you're just paying the subscription, and then each month you get new games out of it. But they do some good stuff. So this month's Humble Bundle monthly for the month of August, and so they're kind of a month ahead in that they open some early. The three that they've announced already that you can go ahead and get are A Hat in Time, which is supposed to be this cool platformer thing, has really good reviews on Steam. The Escapist 2, which is the reason I cared about this in the first place, because that's a game that I've had on my wish list for a while. The Escapist is this like kind of pixel-based prison escape game that's really fun. And so I played the first one. I played quite a bit of it, so I'm really excited about the second one. And then Conan Exiles, that's been around. It's this online survival game, I think, right? I don't remember. But whatever, you can get those. Plus, there's going to be several more that unlock at the beginning of August. And it's $12 a month, and it goes partially to charity because it's Humble Bundle and everything else. So that you know, we now have a subscription to Humble Bundle Monthly.
Do we? Is that right?
Yeah, we do. So we'll have lots of new Steam games popping up each month, which will be fun.
Thank you, Patreon. Thank you very much.
Yes. Speaking of, we do need to give a shout out to our Patreon guys for buying us video games and giving us a Humble Bundle membership. Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke. Our boy Zeke, who just was there with a segment, also one of our Patreon guys. So thank you guys, as always, for your support. Head over to GamingUncensored.com if you want to support us on Patreon. There's that link right there.
Let's face it, we need more software.
Well, always. We're not going to play it all.
We've already got, but we need more software.
Always. That is true. So moving on to Nintendo. Got a couple of hardware things to talk about. Nintendo has reportedly fixed the hole in their hardware that allowed the Switch to be hacked. So if you go buy a Switch now, apparently it won't be as easy to hack. However, it's still going to be hackable. You're not going to get around it. So we talked about this a couple months ago on the show, that there's this exploit. If you already have a Switch, you have the ability to hack it, which makes me wonder if the prices are going to go up on like the pre-fix, like if this hack ever takes off. What was it? It was on the DS, the big like homebrew thing that really took off on the DS. It would be interesting to see like if that happens on the Switch.
I feel like it's... same type of deal with the Switch. You'll start seeing these on eBay for who knows how much. And I gotta be honest, if that starts to happen, I would be interested to do it with ours.
Yeah.
If we start seeing a lot of homebrew stuff, a lot of, you know, home built like operating systems, that stuff, I would do that.
I would too, because I think that would be fun. I also I don't at this point in my life, we've talked about before, I'm not into like the free games thing, and so the main reason to hack it is to get free games. I don't care to do that anymore. I have money to buy games. For as much time as I have, I can spend the money I have on the games that I actually have time to play. And so on the other side of that, I would also be interested if the prices went way up and we could sell ours and then go buy a new Switch and games or something else for it. You know,
nice. Like,
that we have this thing that's now got more value because it's easily hackable. Either way, it would be really fun to hack it just to do it and just to get to play around with it.
Investing with Tommy, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Buy low, sell high.
Absolutely. You find places to make money when you have a kid. For sure. Kids are expensive. Did you know that? Kids are expensive.
So are crippled.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. It's really
another thing you prepared before.
Yes.
Luckily, I didn't have to pay for you. You paid me once upon a time.
Yes, I did. And
some
hopefully
of your crippled money went to me for driving you around. That was a good gig.
Hopefully before this is over, we'll get to do that again. I'm constantly looking for ways to pay you, and I hope before it's all said and done, that's going to happen again. Because it is really expensive to be crippled, and I need all the help I can get.
That's fair.
So
we go around and listen to sports radio. Jim
yes
Rome. It was a good time.
Yes.
Dan Patrick in the morning, Jim Rome in the afternoon.
I can do that. Let's get some of that going. Thank you very much.
Isn't that the truth? Anyway, back to news stuff. VR news. New tech, kind of new tech, new way to use the tech for the HTC Vive. No clue how this is practical or if this is going to be practical, but Steam VR 2.0 has the ability to support multiple base stations in different locations, meaning that you can actually eventually, possibly, set up like a VR house that you could set up base stations in like every room of your house and have your house be like covered in like virtual reality room scale. And so not only do you have your little like box that you can room scale in, but you could go between rooms and do other stuff. What the practicality of that is for your home, I have no idea.
Warehouse.
If you have a big space like that, or like one to do like some cool, and this obviously requires a wireless headset because this isn't going to work at all without a wireless headset. But with the Vive Pro and the wireless option, all that kind of stuff, the idea of being able to like set up like an escape room kind of thing, but all in VR, sounds amazing. You know, like it's not something that's probably going to be for the home user, but you could do some really cool, interesting, like kind of entertainment venue stuff with this. So escape rooms are a lot of fun, and like being able to in real time with multiple people in a virtual space try to do an escape room with like dragons coming after you or something, you know, like the crazy stuff that you can do in VR that you can't do in real life. Actually sounds really, really fun, and I think there would be a big market for that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really think it's going to open things up for bigger spaces. Because you can talk about multiple rooms all you want, but that also opens up the idea of, you know, what if you had a Vive play area that was the size of a football field.
Yeah.
You can now pull that off if you want to.
Yeah, which is a big deal because one of the really limiting things in VR, especially at this point, is you're constrained to whatever space you have available. And again, for the first generation of most VR, you're constrained by the length of the cord. And so by making the headsets wireless and by giving you greater play areas, one of those is easy to do. You can do that in your home, the wireless part of it. The other one, you have to have the space. But if you have the space, or if you can set it up in, you know, a community center or a church or whatever, that you have some big area, like you could do some really, really fun stuff where you could like legit be running and ducking and all kinds of really active things that like right now are kind of tough in a living room because you're afraid of hitting a ceiling fan or running into a wall or knocking your computer over or something like that. And so it would be even that much more immersive if you have the space to pull it off, which again, for home use, probably not super practical. But like if you want to make some money, like start a like VR entertainment room or whatever, you know, like an escape room in VR or a big warehouse that you just do like laser tag, but in VR. Again, I think that sounds super cool. I think that sounds really fun.
Hey, maybe we should start a business.
There you go.
That's our next Patreon right there. Who's in?
There you go. We got a good place to do it. Dallas is a big place, so we could pull it off. So, a couple other things before we wrap up today. This story probably doesn't interest anybody except us, but I love it. It just makes me so happy. well, it doesn't make me happy because it's kind of part of my childhood dying off, but it's still an entertaining story. As of a couple of days ago, there were three Blockbuster locations left in the country. Three Blockbuster videos left in the country. Two of those are closing, meaning that there is going to be a single remaining Blockbuster video rental store in the country in Bend, Oregon. So if you live anywhere near Bend, Oregon, I know our boy Ty is somewhere in Oregon, there is a Blockbuster left in the world. It is okay. In Bend, Oregon.
Okay, stop right there. Do you, sir, want to make a homage to the only remaining Blockbuster? I mean, like I have the desire to go to Mecca, but I would go to the last Blockbuster.
Right.
I would totally do that.
Yeah. I think I would, too. I think that would be fun. Because really, so to be fair, I started my Blockbuster journey kind of bitterly because I really liked my local video stores, and Blockbuster came through and closed down all the local video stores. But then I was for a long time really relying on Blockbuster, and almost all my gaming as a child came from video rental stores. And so, yeah, it is something that does have a sweet spot in my heart, as silly as that is. So yeah, I Bend, Oregon's a long way away, but we'll see how long the thing actually stays open.
We have talked about this. A Blockbuster is kind of like a casino, okay? You walk in, they got the smell. I'm not sure that they're not pumping stuff in there to make you feel good. There's no clocks. There's games and movies. And, yeah. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place. And I think we would that would be the ultimate, gaming uncensored homage.
Yes, I agree. I have some background music here for us for the last Blockbuster.
Nice. Any chance we get to break out Sarah McLachlan?
That's right.
Is great stuff.
I will say you're dead on with the smell. Blockbuster video stores have a smell.
I swear, it's I kid you not. You think I'm joking, but it's no. Like a casino.
Yeah.
It's like walking into a casino, and there's that certain smell, and there's probably some chemicals in the air that do something to your brain that makes you think, yeah, I'm a Blockbuster!
I'm going to miss it. I mean, I've missed it for a long time because I haven't had a Blockbuster anywhere near me for years, but still, there's something nostalgic about watching it die off slowly.
I want to meet the guys that work in the last Blockbuster.
Isn't that the truth? That'd be a fun interview. Try to get the manager of the last Blockbuster video on the show. How in the world in Bend, Oregon have you kept this thing going?
I wonder if we can make that happen. Can we maybe reach out? That would be an awesome interview.
Absolutely.
And that would be something that only you and I would do.
No, or care about. Nobody cares. Half the people listening to the show are what's a Blockbuster? But us, in my heart.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
All that being said, a couple of things before we wrap up. The Walking Dead has a new game. Shocking, right? I feel like there's a million Walking Dead games at this point. This one, a mobile game that is an augmented reality game. And the best way I think I could describe it, because I've played a little bit of it, is it's like Pokemon Go, but The Walking Dead. They want to be very specific that it's not Pokemon Go, but it feels a lot like Pokemon Go. That the whole idea is it uses Google Maps, and it uses your location, and there's walkers around, and you can go kill them and rescue people and find supplies and build safe houses and all that kind of stuff. But it's based off of your physical location, much like Pokemon Go is. And so I've just around my house, there was a couple of places where there were some walkers, and I went and shot them in the head. And I've rescued a couple of people and built a safe house behind my garage, on this little app, which is weirdly entertaining. It's kind of fun. I have this park across the street from my house, and so I imagine I'll go shoot some walkers over at the park later on. So it's like Pokemon Go, but for us who don't care about Pokemon.
That, I feel like I should be disturbed, but I'm really not. Like, I'm really not. Just all I can think is good on you, Robert Kirkman, for finding yet another way to make more money.
Isn't that the truth? That dude, he's doing all right. I'll mention really quick. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I started reading a comic over the this past week. That's called Invincible. Have you ever read
Invincible? Invincible is great. I've read like 15 or 20 issues, but that was his comic before The Walking Dead, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of, I don't know, he might have had stuff before that too, but that was Kirkman before The Walking Dead. And so I just like kind of on a whim found it and picked it up and was like, hey, this is really good. I'm really digging this.
So did you get a paperback? What'd you do?
No, on my iPad.
Okay, cool.
That's where I read comics. I have a couple that I'm working on right now. For a big chunk of my life, I didn't read comics most of my adult life like I did when I was a kid. And in most of my adult life, I just didn't have money to go buy comics or whatever. But now, Comixology is amazing.
Yes,
it's like the best thing
awesome.
Ever. So I'm also finishing up. We talked about this a long time ago on the show. I'm finishing up the Flintstones comic, which is just fantastic. It's just
I'm gonna have to like figure out a way to borrow all of those from you because
yeah,
I gotta read that.
They're great. It's just two volumes of it. I don't think they've done any more at this point. So it's not a ton. I've just been slow getting through it. But it's just great. So I've enjoyed that. I'm trying to remember a couple other things that I've read here and there. But Invincible's really good.
Can I be honest and tell you how happy it makes me that you're like turning into a comic? Like,
I know, right?
Talk about comic books. It's
I knew
awesome.
You would dig that. So
yeah.
We've got one more thing to add to the random stuff that we video games, sports, and comic books. We are the coolest people ever.
Not like seriously.
It's my favorite thing in the world when Jamie drops a not joking.
Well, you know I gotta throw it in there. But I, back to Kirkman, man, you can say what you want about the Walking Dead, but that dude can write.
Yeah. Invincible is a completely different thing. Couldn't be farther away from what The Walking Dead is and is really good and is really compelling. And yeah,
he may be still writing.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure that Invincible is over.
I think it is. Well, I think he said it is, but it may come back or whatever. Who knows? Comic books are so hard to follow and figure out whatever else. So, yeah. But it's great. So, and Comixology is just fantastic. And so
yet,
I think that a ton.
Yet another list of things that we need to work on a comic book podcast because we
yes.
can do that.
Yes. So that's my thing now is at night, I always put the little girl to sleep, and so she'll fall asleep in my arms most nights. So I just have a little bit of time, half an hour, 45 minutes or whatever before I lay her down. That like I'm kind of stuck. I can't do much. Video gaming is hard. Then I've played the Switch some, but I can't play like God of War or something like that because I've got a little girl in my lap. But comic books work really well in that moment, and so that's been my comics time recently, which is something I wasn't anticipating of having a daughter getting me more into comic books. But here we are. So
can I say our lives are changing. But I'm totally okay with the changes. Like
me
like,
too.
It's totally awesome.
Yeah, my life is in a great place right now. I dig it a ton. So, one last thing, something I'm going to suggest. See if you dig this idea. Adding as kind of a regular capping point to our weekly shows is to mention the games that have been released in the past week because
yes.
we are terrible at keeping up with game releases.
Yes, let's do that. Thank you.
What? new games exist so that we know. So quickly, we're starting this in the summer, which is obviously the best time to start this because so much good software comes out in the summer. That was a good point for a not joke as well. Thank you. There is a few things. I got some music keyed up for this too. We'll see if it works. Give us a little background here of one of the games. It's actually a big deal that is out, which is Octopath Traveler. So you're hearing some Octopath Traveler in the background. This is the cool kind of modern spin on a SNES RPG, sprite based RPG. Has an 84 Metacritic score, which is solid.
Did you pick it up? Because that was on my list to pick up.
Yeah, I haven't yet. And so I have played just a bit of the demo, like 20 minutes of the demo or something. And I dig it enough that I want to pick it up and keep going with it. And so I'm hopeful that this is one that's going to hook me.
I'm excited about that one personally. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Outside of that, we also have a new Sonic game, believe it or not. Sonic Mania Plus is out on the Switch and the PlayStation 4, or is coming out in a couple of days. This one's actually a little ahead. It has an 89 on Metacritic, which I did not expect a Sonic game to have an 89 that came out in 2018 on the Switch, an 87 on the PlayStation 4, 89 on the Switch. So there's that. Also on the Switch, Switch kind of had a big release week. Also on the Switch is Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, which I saw somebody on Twitter say is actually really fun and like kind of chill and random, but really cool. That's also on the 3DS if you're interested. Over on the PlayStation 4/Xbox One, you can get and also on PC, you can get Shining Resonance Refrain, which is my understanding. I just saw this earlier today, is in the Shining Force kind of lineage, which was a really great Sega RPG back in the day. PlayStation RPG? Sega? I think PlayStation RPG.
Sega. It was
maybe both.
A Sega game.
Yeah, back in the day. This one, I don't really get it, other than apparently the chicks are in bikinis, which kind of turned me off on it really quick. I don't understand why the female characters are in bikinis in the game, but whatever. That one has a 71 on the PlayStation 4, so apparently a lot of other people not necessarily getting it either. A 76 on the Xbox One. Don't know what makes it 5 points better on the Xbox One, but there you go. Warhammer 40,000 Gladius on the PC, Red Faction Remars, Remastered, sorry, Remars. Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered, and Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy on the PC if you're interested in those. So yeah, some game releases, fun times,
sweet,
something new. So also let me mention, go by the show notes, we didn't talk about this, but this is pretty cool. There is a 20-minute gameplay demo of Anthem with the lead producer Ben Irving kind of working through it, and so that's super cool if you're interested in that. It shows you the kind of extended of what they showed at E3. And so, if you're into Anthem, that's worth checking out.
I'm excited about that because I still don't understand that game.
I don't either, but it looks cool. It is very pretty. GamingAndScissors.com, by the way. Go check that out.
Lots of good stuff over there. Lots of good stuff on the Facebook. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate you are
that.
A year older.
Officially 35 as of yesterday.
As you said last week, the age don't mean so much other than now we both hurt.
Yes. I don't know what it was. Just this week, like how we were situated at my in-laws. Like every time I would change the little girl, it only takes you like 2 minutes to change a diaper, but I would stand up from that and my back would hurt every single time. I'm like, what the crap is happening to me, man? I'm so old.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's not good.
Yeah, like, and it doesn't get better. Like, it's just downhill from here.
Like, imagine that plus cerebral palsy. Yeah. Like, I'm done. That's it. It's over.
God bless you, man.
I say again, we need to find a way to do this show full time because, to be honest with you, I don't have enough energy to do anything else. So we got to figure out a way to get that done because this is getting old stuff. This ain't for sissies.
It's tough. Yeah, that's fair.
It's not good.
But I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I have to say something every year because you're creeping up closer to that midlife thing. And
I know, right?
You guys always give me such a hard time. You're not giving me such a hard time anymore, which makes me feel better.
Right. yeah, each year it's less and less.
You're like, crap, he was right.
I know. It's brutal.
So, yeah, that's a good thing. I hope you had a good birthday. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
It was driving in snot bubbles, but it was fun.
Yeah, all the fun stuff is gone. Now you're dealing with snot bubbles.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like there's a book in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
But all that being said, we do have lots of fun stuff for you guys. Go over to the Facebook. Lots of good discussion going on over there. The Twitter is always hopping. And if you're looking for E3 content, and I know some of you are still wading through all of that is over on the Patreon page. You definitely want to check that out. I know I owe you guys some content, and it's coming. I swear. We're gonna get some more up, but there's still plenty up there. So if you haven't had a chance to get by there, please go by there and check that out. And is there anything else, sir?
Voicemail line 509 game 210, Twitter at podcast GU. Twitter's been quiet the past week because I was on vacation. But Twitter will be ramping back up. There'll be some stuff over there this week, and hopefully some new content at the website from me as well. I'm a little behind too because of travel and all that kind of stuff. So gaminguncensored.com, at podcast GU, 509 game 210, Gaming Uncensored on Facebook, all that stuff you can find at the website too. So, and Patreon, I think that's everything, yes. Right? Goodness, we have a lot of stuff going on.
And of course, if you just want to randomly give us half your lottery winnings, you can hit us up on PayPal. We would totally take that. We do have a PayPal button on the website as well.
Yep.
That you can randomly give us cash.
We'll take it.
As we are moving through the summer, I've told you that I'm getting more and more desperate about the fact that I need to go back to your house so I can sleep. Because I've been home for like a month. And I can't sleep. It's time for another trip to Tommy's place, folks. Let's get ready for that. Let's make that happen. And I'm ready for another 4 or 5 days of video games.
Absolutely.
But for right now, I think that's pretty much everything. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This has been Gaming Uncensored. And for another week. That's right, I said another week. We are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.